Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was very blessed to be here right today in Vernon's devotions about the brokenness that we face in our generation today. And where there isn't peace, they have not found peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we have to talk about this subject. If you would have asked our fathers 20, 30, 40 years ago, if we were going to have to talk about this subject, they would have said, what in the world are you talking about? But it's sobering to me. I found it interesting when I was telling people, or they saw in the bulletin or wherever, that I was supposed to speak on this subject, the responses that I got. Some of them said, God help you, brother. How in the world are you going to talk about that subject? But what disturbed me the most was some said, why would you talk about this subject? Our churches aren't facing this. I think our churches are facing this. I know that it's going to be impossible to cover all the ground that I was given in 30 minutes, and I've already lost 7 minutes because we're over time. So I'm going to do the best I can. But I feel it's a serious enough subject that if I go over time, I hope you can forgive me for that. But right now, for interest's sake, I would like to have a raise of hands for anyone who personally knows someone. So not the person that you met at the restaurant last week, but someone that you personally know by first name basis that is facing either homosexuality conditions in his life, or a transgender. Is anyone in our audience? So is it facing the church today? Absolutely. There was probably 30 hands that raised. And so I think the committee did well to choose this topic. I'm not sure if they did well to put me at it. But this is a subject that I must admit that I find repulsive. And I even, to the point that I wasn't interested in studying into it very much. But when Brother Sherwin asked me to speak on it, I started studying on it, and I'm now passionate about it. I'll be honest with you. Doing the studies, I was like, this is something that we need to wake up and face. The gender crisis is real. And sadly, it's a lot closer to us here today than we realize. I'd like to just briefly touch on where the position that Mennonite USA has taken on this subject. I would like to then talk about the problem, the current conditions that we're facing, look at how did we get here, what does the Bible say about it, and finally, what is the response of the church? May 29th of 2022, the Mennonite Church USA put forth a resolution for repentance and transformation. This is a document that I presume they produced very similar to how we produce documents. They probably had a committee that looked into this and produce this document. I'm going to just highlight a few things just to give us an idea the position that they are taking. It says, current policies of the Mennonite Church USA do violence to the LGBT community by failing to affirm their full God-given identity by restricting their full participation in the life ministries and rituals of the broader church. Excluding LGBT people from the church is a rejection of God's joyous delight in the diversity of creation and a denial of the divine image and breath animated in all humankind. It is unfaithful to the calling and ministry of Jesus, who has the visible image of the invisible God, and the one through whom God reconciled everything to God's self, offers radical hospitality to those traditionally despised and rejected by religious institution, and teaches that love is the fulfillment of the law. It is a denial of the work of the Holy Spirit who empowers the LGBT Christians to give and receive every gift in the body of Christ. God help us. They go and says that excluding these people harms not only the LGBT people and allies, but it also harms the full body of Christ. Can you imagine saying that? Can you imagine what God was thinking when they said that? It is a failure to realize the denominational vision of healing and hope, and therefore restricts the life and mission of Mennonite USA. It is a rejection of the spiritual gifts that God longs to share through LGBT people within the Mennonite church. It goes on, it talks about how they reject the position that they had taken prior to this. I'm not going to take time reading it, but that's the position that they took. How did they get there, and how can we keep from getting there? That's my burden. So my first point here is the problem, the current condition in the Western world. As already mentioned, the Mennonite USA has chosen to accept the position taken by mainstream Western culture. So what exactly is that position, or what is legal in America today? Well, for starters, all U.S. states now allow that you can go have on your driver's license, you can change your gender marker on your driver's license. You can have an F for female, M for male, or X. It's up to you. It's your self-determination. Now, states have different rules on that. I checked into Michigan. I can walk into the Secretary of State 4 miles from my house, or less than 4 miles from my house, fill out a little bit of paperwork for $9, and walk out with a new license marked with the gender of my choice. I can do that. That's simple. As of April 11th, 2022, any individual who has a valid U.S. passport can legally have F, M, or X on their passport. And if you want to take it a step further, again, I'm speaking about Michigan. I don't know about other states. In a 4 to 8 week process, and approximately $400, I can have my legal name changed and my gender changed. That's simple. That's simple. So one of the questions I had about this subject is, how in the world do they deal with the fact that each of us is distinctly male or female? I mean, how can you reckon with that thought? Because I could ask any, if there was a 2-year-old child here right now to come up here and I would ask that 2-year-old child, am I a male or a female? That child would know. He would say, you're a male, right? There would be no question. So how can full-grown adults not be able to answer that question correctly? How in the world? But the problem is this. In today's society, they have decided that sex and gender are no longer synonymous. They have decided that we can decouple those terms. Thus, sex is now the term refers to my biological classification. So I am biologically a male. But my gender can be determined by what? How do you determine your gender then if you separate it? Your gender is now your identity. And this identity is a personal internal perception of oneself that is based on how someone feels. That's exactly how they determine it. That simple. So this feeling definition of gender has opened up a door that's unbelievable. I mean, especially to the younger generation who are identifying as something other than their biological sex. This separation of sex and gender has made tremendous inroads. And sadly, that there's counselors that are all set up to promote this idea. They have federal funding. So if as a 14-year-old son or daughter, any of your children would go to a counselor and they are confused about what gender they are, they could find a counselor that could help them with that. God help us. Because they are, I don't know if this is too strong, they're an agent of the devil. These people who are promoting this. So a question that comes up, of course, is this a problem that is new to our generation or has this been a problem for a long time? Well, the truth is that third gender, homosexuality, and cross-dressing have been around as long as the world has stood. But there's a significant difference between 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, even 200 years ago, than today. The difference is that in the past, it's always been considered as the abnormal. Heathen people have had that in their cultures. The Native Americans call them two-spirited. But we can conclude that in the history of mankind, it has never, ever been considered the norm. But that's what's happening today. That is becoming the norm. Today, in Western culture, it's not only becoming the norm, but if you promote the biblical view, you're labeled a bigot, you're intolerant, and you're unloving. You're not loving these people. That's what what Mennonite USA is trying to say, that we have to love them. You know, love them, accept them. You can't reject them. You have to be tolerant. So how did our culture get to this place? Well, there's six conditions that I feel that are met. And each of these six conditions could be broadly spoken on, but I'm going to very briefly go through this. Number one is a wholesale departure from God. You know, cross-dressing and other examples of gender fluidity, that's another word that you gender fluidity and transgender transitioning are evidences of how confused our world has become. But ultimately, they reflect the society's rejection of God. They are rejecting his instructions. They are rejecting his plan for mankind. Number two, the successful removal of God from our schools and the rejection of the Ten Commandments. You realize that every time that you remove something, you replace it with something. So when they took God out of the schools, what did they replace it with? Evolution, right? And everything else that went with that package. Man was created to worship and obey. So if you're not worshiping and obeying God, who are you worshiping? Who are you going to obey? Open up a tremendous door to that. Number three, the breakdown of the family structure. You know, Satan has been very successful in that department of breaking and destroying the family unit. This is a huge contributing factor on why the world is so confused today. Number four, the emasculation of the male figure. Even in books, there's that just have brought the value of the male figure down. Men no longer are men. Again, you could speak on that for another 15 minutes. I don't have time. The woman's liberation movement. The whole idea that God, he had a principle, he divinely placed it that the level of men, women submitting to them, the proper order, how they were supposed to function. God had a plan for that, and they have got rid of that. So number four and five together have brought tremendous confusion to our day today. But the last one is very disturbing to me. We can now be our own God. We get to decide what is truth. We get to decide what we want to believe. Truth is whatever you want it to be and whatever it feels right to you. You have no right to tell me what to believe or what to live. I get to decide what to do and what to believe. And if you judge me, you don't love me, right? If you tell me I can't believe this, then you don't love me. I get to be happy and free in whatever lifestyle I choose. That's the doctrine that's being promoted. And if you don't accept me, you are narrow-minded and judgmental. If I find time at the end of the message, I'm going to talk about that is coming into our churches today, brothers. Amen. That very, very doctrine. Point number three, what does the Bible say? When Genesis, that's where you have to turn to, brothers. When God created man, he said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. So God created man in his image, and the image of God created him, male and female. He created them. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to preach that till the day I die. If they take me to jail, I'm still going to say that God created us, male and female. It's not up to me to decide that. God decided that. And it says, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. How in the world are we going to replenish the earth with all this surgery that they're doing? You can't. There's no way. I cannot think of a clearer scripture to turn to than this foundational creation story where God created male and female. And when God created them as male and female, he clearly established the role of male and female, how the man would lead out, how the woman would bear children. Another thing that's interesting in creation, that God clearly divided everything he made. He made light and darkness. There was no confusion. There's light and darkness. There's earth, there's sky, there's water above, there's water below. Day and night. And in the same creation, he made male and female. Why are we confused? I don't think I need to convince any of you of the validity and foundational importance of this creation story. But it's the firmest foundation we have to stand on. Right there. God did it. The ways of God and the order he set in creation have always worked and they will always work. Anything outside of this is from Satan and will lead to confusion and eternal damnation. Now listen really closely to this next point because it's extremely important. Without this God-given foundation from creation, there is absolutely no moral law. Brothers and sisters, if there is no moral law, there is nothing inherently evil. But right with that, there's nothing inherently good. Can you just think about that for a little bit? If nothing is inherently evil, nothing is inherently good. How in the world are you going to find peace with God when there's nothing good? Wonder why these people are confused. Wonder why they are doing this. Wonder why they're committing suicide after they supposedly have found what was missing. I mean, I have testimonies upon testimonies of people from Anabaptists. I wish I had time to read them. There's a university in Wisconsin that did a survey about ex-Amish and ex-Mennonite, how they came out from among them and they found their true selves. Why aren't they happy then? Because if there's nothing inherently evil, there can also be nothing inherently good. So how can you find peace? So do we believe in a moral law? And are we brave enough to stand on that moral law regardless what pressures come to us? Brothers and sisters, I was very encouraged yesterday when we looked at the issue of WhatsApp and we said, you know what, we're going to do something about this. Because we have to. When things come into the church that are to the detriment of the church, we have to stand on it. We have to preach truth. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, to where that verse is found. And look at the context. I'm actually going to look at verses 18 to 32. Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Brothers, we are without excuse. The truth is right here. The answers are right here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, this rejection of God and His order, for this cause God gave them up into their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned their lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of all evil things, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. Again, you could take this passage and talk another 20 minutes just on this passage. But it so clearly describes what we are facing today. Clearly. In my opinion, refusing to accept the sex and gender of your birth is the ultimate rebellion and affront to God. I don't know if I have a more clear way to put it than that. For me to stand up and tell you that I'm a woman, or at least I'm going to identify as a woman, is a tremendous rebellion to God. And wonder why they are confused. Wonder why they end up committing suicide. You know, anyone that questions his or her gender is doing exactly what these verses are saying. They're professing to be wise, wiser than God who created them. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. So, what should the church's response be? That's probably what you wanted me to talk about. Number one, the church must unashamedly stand on the word of God. We may not for 1 minute quit reading this passage, regardless who is in our audience. We cannot stop preaching the creation. These age-old truths have stood the test of time. God did not change. His holy word has not changed. His will for marriage between one man and one woman for life has not changed. You know, Joe Biden, our president, can get up and he can make any speech he wants to, and he can sign into law any bill he wants to, but it will not change one of God's laws. Recently, Joe Biden made this comment in a speech. He said, love is love, and Americans should have the right to marry the person they love. That's the exact words from Joe Biden. Think about that to its furthest extreme. What if I love my sister? Can I marry her? That's ridiculous. It says, love is love, and Americans should have the right to marry the person they love. It makes no logical sense. But the church of today must preach from the truth from their pulpits, and we must live it out in our daily lives. We're going to have to get practical on how to do this. If there ever was a time to preach it, it is now, because I am convinced that the freedom of speech that we have today is going to be taken away. Yeah. There's no question. We must preach and teach while we have the opportunity, and even if you're behind bars for preaching the truth, keep preaching the truth, brothers. Number two, we must teach it to our children. Teach your children a biblical worldview. They need to learn why God created men and women, why they are distinctly different, why they have the role they have. They must see dad and mom joyfully and purposely living out their role. You know, mom should never say, well, I sure wish you'd stay home and do the laundry day and let me go to work. No, we might have said that as a joke years ago, but don't do it now. Seriously. I shall be joyfully filling the role of the father and the head of the home. Mom needs to be happy being a homemaker. And don't presume that your children know all these things. You know, the generation that said, don't educate your children on it about anything about sex. That's a huge mistake. They'll find it out. And even more so today. If you don't teach them, Google will teach them. I guarantee it they will. They will get answers. At camp meeting just last Sunday, Joe made a comment about transgender. My 10-year-old son behind me pokes me and he says, what's a transgender, Dad? I answer the question. You have to answer the question. They will find it out somewhere. There are so many things that our youth are facing today that I did not face as a young person. So dads, you have to help them. And God forbid, but if your 15 or 16-year-old child starts to want to identify something different than their biological gender, you cannot say, well, that's stupid. Why in the world would you think that? We can't be repulsed by it. We will have to walk them through it. We will have to be willing to talk about it. Again, there could be a lot of thought, and you could speak a long time on it, but I'm telling you, parents, don't ignore it. Don't think it's going to go away. If your child shows any indication, they will find somebody to help them in that if you don't. So what should we do or say when we meet these gay and transgender people? Do exactly what Jesus did. Separate the person from the sin. Love the sinner, but reject the sin. That is exactly what you're going to have to do. You know, Jesus was a loving God. Yes, he showed them love and compassion. He healed them many. But he never, never compromised truth. Never. He never overlooked sin. He told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He told the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her all about her life. But he told her where the life-giving water was. He told her that. He told the rich young ruler, go sell what you have and follow me. I don't know of one account in the New Testament that Jesus ever accepted someone in their sins. But he had many, many examples of lovingly helping them come to truth, to find healing. Jesus never compromised one of God's truths or principles to win someone, and we can't either. The reason that the Mennonite USA got to where they were is they compromised truth, one truth by another one. They kept going. What do we do when we get challenged about, you can't judge me, you can't tell me what to do? Or you might say, well, people will say, well, why can't you just accept my choice of lifestyle or my gender choice? Why can't you just accept that? Our response should be this: I am not judging you, but rather the God's word and Jesus' teaching is judging you, not me. It's this book that is judging you. The book that has stood the test of time. I am not God. I don't write the laws of God, but I unashamedly believe in a God that is just and true. My God that I serve is just and loving. You can't separate the two. God is a loving God, therefore he is just. God is just, therefore we can conclude that he's loving. But if you take those two apart, no. God is a loving God, therefore he is just. God is just, therefore we can conclude that he is loving. This God never makes mistakes. He did not make a mistake when he decided your gender before you were born. This loving God does not change his laws to fit a selfish and corrupt culture. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Real quickly here, a couple practical helps to keep our church from going down the same slippery slope. If we think like the world, we will become like the world. Okay, that's the first one. If we think like the world, we'll become that. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We must recognize the agenda of the evil one and combat it in its earliest stages. We must take lessons from other churches that have apostatized. History will repeat itself if we don't do anything different. How did the Mennonite USA get there? One choice at a time. And finally, a wholesale departure from God. You can't tell me that the Holy Spirit is working in a church like that that makes those kind of decisions. There's no way. So what are some early signs, warning signs that I see in our churches today? Number one, becoming friends with the world. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You know, the truth is that we are rubbing shoulders with the world more than we used to. 50 years ago, a lot of them people were farmers. They didn't have a lot of contact. But we have employees and employers. We are rubbing shoulders with them more than ever. We need to be aware of that. I'm not condemning that necessarily. I'm saying be aware of that. This will have an effect on our worldview. You can't tell me it won't. It will have an effect on your worldview. So how separate are we from the world? Observe what is posted on your people's WhatsApp status. You get a pretty good picture of how separate we are from the world, but we're not going to have WhatsApp anymore. So what does that have to do with a gender crisis? Everything. When you think like the world and you look like the world, you will become like the world. History has proven that over and over and over again. The gender crisis is a current problem in the world, that the closer we walk to the world, the more likely we will become that and get caught up. The individualistic spirit, I believe what I want to believe. If you don't agree with me, too bad. I don't think anybody in our churches is bold enough to say that I can be my own God. But how well are they submitting to authority? Do our youth allow godly parents and church leaders to speak into their lives? Parents, how well are you submitted to the church? Church leaders, are we open to working together and taking direction from each other? The individualistic spirit always takes away from brotherhood accountability. Always. And it takes away from the value of church membership. Number three, church attendance. The casual approach to church and the brotherhood. How easy is it to skip prayer meeting in church? If I would ask your children, would they without hesitation tell me that going to church is top priority in your family? What would they tell me? Oh, we go occasionally to prayer meeting. Remember, anything you drop will be replaced by something else. So if we stop going to prayer meeting, what are we replacing it with? I'm convinced as the world gets darker and further away from God, the light from the church must become brighter and brighter. And that's not going to happen from your recliner. That's not going to happen at the beach or the campground. If there ever was a time to spend more time at church and with godly brotherhood surrounded by Bible-believing and Bible-practicing brothers and sisters, it is today. My last point, church discipline. What does it cost to follow God in churches today, in our churches today? I'm going to be bold enough to say not enough. I'm going to quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He compares cheap grace with costly grace. I'm going to read that off. Because the Mennonite USA has determined that cheap grace is good enough. He says, cheap grace is the deadly enemy of our church. Cheap grace means justification of sin without justification of the sinner. Cheap grace is grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without a total surrender to Jesus Christ. In stark contrast to that costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field for the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price, to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the call of Christ at which the disciple leaves his nets to follow Jesus. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life, his ambition, his pride, his identity, all must be lost for Christ. It is costly because it condemns sin and justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it costs God, his only son. That's what it cost. You were bought with a price. And if we embrace this costly grace, then this following verse will become very real to us. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You don't get to decide your gender because you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And that includes everything, your gender, and your spirit, which are God's. In conclusion, following God and embracing all his teaching and command is rewarding and fulfilling and will give you peace. Satan and the world have absolutely nothing to offer. So if I don't have peace and happiness right now, changing my gender will never, ever bring you happiness. So what is the answer to the gender crisis that the Western culture and the church of today is facing? The answers are right here in this book, but we must follow them. We must teach them. We must teach them to the next generation. We must face the problems head on and not ignore them and never, ever compromise truth. We must be alert to any danger that leads us away from God's moral law. Because brothers and sisters, if we get rid of God's moral law, we are lost. We must be ready to face persecution for standing unwaveringly on God's truth. And if that means that you have to sell your business or you have to change your occupation in order to not deny God's truth, do it. Do it. God bless all of you as you go back to your communities and churches and you stand firmly on God's truth. This is the only way and the only answer that I have to face the gender crisis of our day. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. God bless you, all of you.